Hey everybody, it's the ATM coming to you with basically an audio blog about Assassin's Creed 3. I was going to do a written review, but there is so much that I need to talk about in this game that I have to talk about it. I can't just write it out. Okay, so for those of you who might not know, I own every Assassin's Creed game, except for Liberation. And before Assassin's Creed 3 and Liberation, I was done with the series. Brotherhood was good. I enjoyed Brotherhood. Revelations, I despised Revelations. I bought Revelations for the story, for the conclusion of Ezio Auditore da Firenze. I didn't buy it because, oh, this game looks sweet. I bought it because what happens to Ezio? What happens to Altair? That's why I bought the game. Assassin's Creed 3 showed promise. New era, colonial America. Now, I love history. I'm Canadian. I don't like Canadian history, but I love American history. Canada history is like, okay, hey, Britain, can we be our own country, please? Britain's like, sure, be your own country. And then America's like, hey, Britain, we're going to be our own country. We don't like your taxes. And then Britain's all, you can't do that. And then you got a few shots, and then you got the revolution. You got Connor Kenway, or Rohan Gahante's story. Now, I'm playing this game right now, so I'm a little distracted. So, where to start? What's new, I guess? You got colonial America. I don't even know where to start. Colonial America. I mean, they recreated this pretty well. I mean, the entire size of the game, I will say, is about 5 times larger than Brotherhood. I mean, they're going on about how big the frontier is. Holy cow, look at how big Boston, New York is. Those places are huge. And what surprises me is that they didn't even mention Homestead. At all. Homestead. Okay, so if you guys don't know what Homestead is, basically in other games you could buy up shops and you could buy all this stuff around the city and make an income. Homestead is kind of that combined with Montgomery from number two. So you make your own town. You start off, it's called the Davenport Homestead. And it starts off, and it's just your mansion. And your trainer's mansion. I wanted to attempt not to get any spoilers. Basically, you do little missions, and slowly and surely, your little mansion has a few neighbors. You get blacksmiths, lumberjacks, medicine men, farmers, you get all this stuff. Now, they don't pay you, because Connor's about freedom, so they don't pay you any money. How you make money is, you go to a logbook in a general store or in your mansion, and you can buy, I'll give you a good example that they show in the game. You go in, it's not too complicated. You buy pine lumber from your lumberjacks. You buy 10 of it. Go to your recipe section, and you make barrels. Use those barrels, and you can send them to a general store. Well, that's not very deep. True. But let's say your general store is in a Templar overrun district of Boston. Your risk and your taxes are going to be pretty high, usually about 30%. Well, if you liberate that section, then you get less risk and you get less taxes. Now, I've only run into the instance once where your convoys can actually be attacked. And sadly, the game didn't provide much detail as how do you fix that? How do you stop your convoy from being attacked? I looked on my map trying to find where it is. It didn't work out. So that's one thing. Tree climbing. I don't know about you. I was a little worried about the tree climbing that, oh boy, this is going to be difficult to navigate. All the free running has been revamped in AC3. Now, the other games, it was more, they really did one, I guess you could say rotation. you know, hand over hand, pretty steadily, doesn't really change much. AC3, you got so many more movements. You've got him, like, leaping up with one hand, and his other hand looking for a handhold. Meanwhile, he got his feet either on a ledge, or they're, like, up against a wall, or they're spread across a windowsill trying to get an extra boost of power. It just, it looks so much more realistic. And personally, that's awesome. The story. The story at the beginning, if you haven't heard, is a bit slower than the other AC games. Now, my friend almost gave up on this. He's a big AC fan, and he was. We were pumped for AC 3. And we started, he said he was going to go sell the game after school. And I said, no, stop. Keep playing the game. Now, the intro for me was about 2 hours. I did a little bit of fooling around. I mean, it's Assassin's Creed 3. You gotta fool around a bit. A little fooling around, but it roughly took me 2 hours for the intro. Now, this intro wasn't really an Assassin's Creed intro. You think of Assassin's Creed, you think of, you're just an assassin all of a sudden. This got you invested in the character. Now, I know some people are like, oh, Connor was a horrible character. I felt for Connor. Without going into the story, I felt for his struggle. I felt him as a character. It's just, I like the story. My only problem with the story is, I've been trying to think about how to word it to my friends, but here's the best way I've come up with. They fit the story around the history and not the history around the story. What I mean is, basically, you go from the Boston Massacre straight into the Tea Party, straight into Lexington. Now, it's not quite how it goes, but you get the drift. There's not really a lot of in-between time, and you don't really feel the effects of the revolution. You see redcoats at one point in Boston, and then you do a mission or so, and then all of a sudden it's taken over by bluecoats. You don't really feel the repercussions of that. You don't feel the repercussions of the British getting their butts handed to them by the colonials. Now, another thing I have a problem with the story is, they said Connor is not a patriot. He is not a loyalist either. He's on both sides. I didn't see that. Now, you can kill bluecoats, because I just got done killing a bunch of them right now. You can kill bluecoats, you can kill redcoats, you can kill deer, you can kill whatever. But I found the majority of it was, he was a bluecoat. That's the majority I found. That, and because his outfit actually has a bluecoat on it. What else? Okay. I'm going into a little bit of a rant here. The Navy missions. Now, they were pumped for the Navy missions. I was pumped for them. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Navy missions were amazing. All about 10 of them that lasted me about 10 minutes. As well as the fact that I swore, I heard them say, Navy free roam. Now, post in the comments if I'm wrong, but there was supposed to be Navy free roam, and there isn't. I was reading some of the interviews, and they said, you can explore your boat in free roam. Well, it's true. You can go to your homestead and when you're not doing a mission, and you can walk around the top of your ship. They put so much detail into the ships, though. I mean, you climb to the very top of your ship, and there's like a, not a zip line, but like a pulley system where you fly right down, and it's very dramatic. You never use it in any of the missions. But I mean, other than that, what I think it is Ubisoft didn't want to pull a Revelations with the, how they put in so much, or Den Overrun, or whatever it was called. That, I mean, people hated that, but they put time and love and so much into the Navy missions, but it's still lacking. The weather system isn't random. I took out the mast of a ship in one of the Navy missions, and I sat behind it, and it couldn't fire its guns at me. I sat there for 5 minutes, anchor down, No tropical storm came up. It stayed the same for 5 minutes that I was waiting there, but also the 3 minutes it took to dispatch the other privateer ships. Now, the Navy missions are just about all completely optional. There's about 3 missions where you have to do Navy missions. Of course, one of them being the Chesapeake Bay, which is amazing. That is where it shines. The weather in the seasons is pretty good. I found, though, that you play more in the summertime. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a beautiful time. You got butterflies flying around, you got all this stuff. And when it rains, that's an eyegasm. When it rains is one of the most beautiful things I've seen. I mean, your character looks wet when he, like, it's just detail. And when it's winter time, I mean, there's some stuff lacking. You can see some grass, there's leaves on the trees, but it feels like it's winter time. You can see the breath of animals and people, and you got all this stuff. I guess the next part I guess I could go into would be the realism. I find this game, I don't know how they did it. Revelations looked okay. I mean, it was shiny. Did you guys find that? I'm finding new games are very shiny. Assassin's Creed 3 takes, I don't know where they got it from, but holy cow, powerful engine. Here's an example. This is kind of an inside joke between me and my dad, but fainting ghosts we find really funny. Well, if you're wandering through Boston, like I was a couple nights ago, and I got into a scrap with some redcoats. So I pull out my gun, and I shoot, and in between us there's some goats, and the goats fall over. I'm like, ah, shoot, I killed the goats. They got up a few seconds later because they're fainting ghosts. What other game puts fainting goats into it? Like, there's no purpose to them. You can't kill the goats. You can pet the goats. But they took the time to put in fainting goats, and that amazes me. Another thing, there are rats running around the streets. They said the streets are dirty, you got rats running around. If you step on a rat, you squash it. You hear its bones crunch, you see the blood stain. There's no point to doing that, because it only really happens if you're walking, but it adds realism. I can go on. I just want to say this right now to any people that have cats and dogs or know about them, and a little joke between cats. You can pet almost every animal except for chickens and other things you feed them. You can pet dogs, you can pet goats, you can pet cats. You can't pet a cat. That's weird, isn't it? No, it's not. It's realistic. When you go to pet a cat, it brushes up against you. You don't touch the cat. The cat touches you because the cats are all important. Trying to think of what else. On the multiplayer, I haven't really played, but I did play the co-op, and it's an interesting one. I'll give it that much. It's interesting. I thought it was just you and your friends have to like get discreet bonuses and all that to get the most points, but as it turns out, there's more to it. You have to, like, it'll be like, get an air assassination. So you have to do an air assassination within a time limit. And it's a fun sequence. I mean, you're not, like, constantly having to hide. It's just basically book it to your target right before he sees you, walk, and try to get an instant kill, which look amazing. While we're on the topic of killing, killing in the EC3 single player is amazing. Let's go with that. It's gruesome. It's so many different things. It's satisfying. That sounds weird to say killing is satisfying, but it is. It looks satisfying. Like, when you're fighting on a slope, it looks like you're fighting on a slope. You're when you do a killing animation, the enemy character doesn't magically come to your level and you do the killing animation. It just stays on their level and you adjust. I mean, it's a very good combat system. As far as weapons go, you have two sides. You have your weapons, you have your tools. Weapons, you have fists. Now, one thing I've found in Revelations and almost every other game, you don't fist fight after a fist fighting sequence. Like, you try to do it and you're just shut down. In this game, you can do it. You can do whatever you want in this game. So you have your unarmed, you have Hidden Blade, which is really Hidden Blade slash a dagger. And it's sweet because you got fresh new killing animations for the Hidden Blade. You got your tomahawk slash small weapon. Now this can, your tomahawk can be switched out for a dagger. Same killing animations, but it just looks better with the tomahawk. And then you've got your sword slash blunt weapons. Now, they're pretty gruesome. I don't really use the swords or them that much. I use a blunt weapon, which is my beautiful war club. I love it. Pretty gruesome animations. As well as you got your bow. And tool side, you've got your bow and arrow, which is sweet. You have your pistol, which is useful. You got your rope dart, which is fun. I mean, you're up in a tree, and you throw that thing down, you can strangle him, you can do whatever you want. I mean, it's a good tool. Then you've got smoke bombs, poison darts, trip mines, snares, bait, horse whistle throwing. You got all that other stuff. But the basics that you will be using is your pistol, bow, and rope dart. I only used a smoke bomb once to try and scare a goat into fainting, but it didn't work. Poison darts are knives this time around, so you don't have like a fancy hidden gun. This game is pretty good like that. Hunting, I find pretty enjoyable. I have a few problems, like the male elk, that I can shoot four times with an arrow and they just run away. That you can shoot with a gun and they run away. You can poison them and they run away. So really, if you're going to hunt elk, you might as well just sit on top of a tree, throw bait down, and air assassinate them. But there are, I believe, 11 hunting areas in the frontier. And these aren't small, little, tiny areas. These are big areas. And though I was a bit sad when they said that where you shoot the animal depends on how much they sell for. And that's not completely true. It's more of, if you shoot an elk once with an arrow and you manage to kill him, you get elk pelt, meat, bison, all that stuff. You shoot it twice, you get damaged pelt, damaged bison, whatever. You shoot it, you just get damaged pelt, because you pulverize its inside, so you're not getting anything else. Yeah, I actually don't have a script right now, so I'm jumping around a lot. But the hunting is still good. And the frontier, in general, is good. I mean, I'll tell you a little experience I had. It was summertime in the frontier, on a nice hilltop. It's thunderstorming, and the thunderstorms look amazing in this game. I'm in a tree. I rope dart the drummer of a little band, or of a group of redcoats. Now the drummer will run off and warn other people, and then he got a giant fight going on. I'll get to that later. So I strangle him, hang him from the tree, jump out one guy, do a double counter, spin around, stab one guy, stab another guy, shoot the last guy. That's basically how it happened, but it was so cinematic and flawless. Even it was on uneven ground, and it was still amazing. Now, one problem I do have with the game is the AI has been beefed up as well. The enemy AI has been beefed up. So you run and you stab somebody, you're going to be chased for a good 3 minutes through the city. I mean, one instance I had last night was I was running from a bunch of blue coats, I know it's not what they're called, I know, but they have blue coats on. It's Grinny from the Patriots. Is that better? And I finally thought I got away. I was hiding on a bench. A bunch of them ran by. They couldn't see me. They were pretty far away. One guy was left, and he's investigating. He gets close enough, and I assassinate him. All of a sudden, the city goes in uproar, and you've got like 20 blue coats surrounding you. And it's like, you didn't hear that. I stabbed him and put him on a bench. You didn't hear that. But there's a problem with the AI. So, not a problem. They're just oversensitive. Someone should buy them chocolates. That was a joke. Another add-on that I like, and trust me, if you like to do double assassinations, you like this too. You cannot kill civilians with your melee weapons. Now, some people are like, what? That is stupid. Well, let me tell you this. When you're trying to assassinate a guard and you accidentally take down two civilians beside him, yeah, that gets really annoying. But luckily, they fix that. You can shoot them. You can shoot them with arrows. You can hang them. You can shoot them with muskets. But you just can't stab them. And that helps. Something just came into my head, and I was about to talk about it, and then I completely forgot. So I'm going to say this in hopes that at one point I might actually remember what I was talking about or going to talk about. Assassin's recruits are back. They don't play a pivotal role. You can use them when you want, but killing is pretty efficient, so you don't really need them at all. What was I going to say? Great. Awkward silence. Okay, why not? So, there are statistics in the game now. So, if you remember from Assassin's Creed 2, they had game battles in where you could go up against some random people about most assassinations, double assassinations, favorite weapon, all that kind of stuff. They've put that into AC3. So now you could be walking, as long as you're signed in to Xbox Live or PS3, PSN, you could be walking, and then all of a sudden, bloop, statistics come up. You're in the top 1% of clean hunting kills. I'm in the top 10, but my friend's top 1. So that's pretty cool. You can go in there, and you can see your friends, and how much better or worse you are than them. So that's a cool feature. Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't actually think of anything else right now. Huh. But yeah, so that's basically my review for AC3. I mean, it's got its problems, but it's mostly highlights. Mostly, they've added a whack load of stuff that makes the game amazing. Yeah, so if you guys are any fan of AC3, or you guys want to try it out pretty much for the first time, I'd suggest this game. It gives you a nice rundown of what's happened in the previous games. The ending, if you're just coming to AC3, the ending won't really affect you. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So, safety and peace, my brothers and sisters. They may remember the words of our creed, or the creed, Assassin's Creed. We work in the dark to serve the light. Peace be with you, my friends.